You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Cynthia Freeland, who joins us on the show. Cynthia, hey, how you doing?
What's going on? How are you, Anita?
I'm great. All things considered, I always like to preface and say all things considered. I know COVID's on the rise. We all have to be careful. We're being told not to spend Thanksgiving with our families. That makes me sad, but I hope everybody out there is safe. But again, all things considered, I'm doing well. We just had Mike Westhoff on the show, and not sure if you and I have had, you know, the conversation at length, but, you know, Mike Westhoff was the one who found Taysom Hill off the Saints practice squad. And Taysom Hill probably wouldn't have the opportunity that he's having tomorrow if it wasn't for Mike Westhoff. And he just shared that story with us, and it's just a really feel-good story. You know, I'm curious to get your thoughts. What are your expectations for Taysom Hill heading into tomorrow's matchup against Atlanta?
I feel like there's a lot of risk and a lot of reward. I mean, first of all, how am I going to follow that story? I mean, goodness, but I'll try here. But ultimately, I think you're going to see packages designed especially for Taysom Hill. This is not he's not a new player on their team. You know, we haven't seen him pass the ball in terms of taking attempts as often as, you know, we've seen other, I'm going to say the word backups, because he's not a backup quarterback. He's kind of just so different from that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, who has spent a lot of time with him is one of the most prolific play callers in the NFL. So you can't really you got to give Sean Payton the benefit of the doubt here, right? I think we're going to see some interesting packages made specifically for his skills. It's different from Drew Brees. It's going to look different, and that's going to be fun. So, you know, I don't think we're going to see some crazy 400-yard passing day. I think it'll be a lot more moderate like that, like below 200 but above 175. And I do think we see two touchdowns, and I do think we see a lot of rushing yards from him. But like I said, I don't think it's going to be some, you know, 400 yards through the air type of situation.
You know, one thing that I wasn't aware of, and Mike shared with us, is, you know, he said this dude's got an arm. And he could launch it. Like, you know, I'm like, in my head, game script, because I always try to think game script, especially when we're talking about, you know, gambling over and unders and fantasy. But game script, I'm thinking, like, we've seen Drew Brees and Sean Payton play this kind of, like, small ball offense for the past 2 years, right? Like, dink and dunk. It's what they've done. So I'm thinking, you know, you accentuate it with Taysom's athleticism. But based on my conversation I just had with Mike just a second ago, I have a feeling they're going to be taking some shots downfield, Cynthia, especially if Mike says that this dude can toss it like Mike expects him to.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I look at what Sean Payton has done in the past, I think it's going to be strategic tosses. I don't think it's going to be like we see Tom Brady slanging it this year, right? I think it's going to be like Alvin Kamara. I think it's going to have some of those shorter, quicker passes. Because remember, it's not just what the quarterback can do. It's also the packages and chemistry between the players. And we haven't really seen, you know, we don't know what's happening in practice. So for me, the best case scenario here is to think about, okay, let's have them get into situations where they leverage the fact that they have Alvin Kamara and they run the ball, create really manageable third downs, really manageable passing downs in general, and then take those strategic deep shots when they make sense, when the defense is there, when Taysom Hill can see it. Because the one thing that he doesn't have, and I can say he doesn't have it, is a lot of experience under center throwing the ball super deep with a defense that he doesn't know, right? Maybe he's done it quite a bit in practice, but game speed is something different. It's a different beast. So I believe that the way Sean Payton creates this offense is by creating an opportunity to succeed and by taking those higher probability passes first, leveraging the run game, and then creating the deep shots that have a good chance of being caught.
So with that being said, how are you playing this, Cynthia? The Atlanta Falcons are getting four. Obviously, they've been a lot better since they moved on from Dan Quinn to Raheem Morris, and Atlanta's coming off of a bye. But with Adam Schefter breaking the news yesterday around 11 a.m., not a lot of time for their scout team to prepare for Taysom Hill as opposed to Jameis Winston, which a lot of people thought would be getting the start tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that this one goes. I don't think that we have some sort of crazy Atlanta upset. I think it's a higher scoring game than you might imagine given the shift in quarterback, because we've seen Jameis Winston throw a bunch of touchdowns. We don't know what to expect from Taysom Hill. But for me, that level of, you know, we don't know what to expect creates an opportunity for us to see more points. I think it's something like, you know, I think we see maybe like, you know, 30 to 27. I don't necessarily think they blow them out of the water, but I don't necessarily think, like, I don't think it's going to be like an overwhelming Saints win by double digits, but I think somewhere between a field goal and a touchdown is about right.
All right. Again, Cynthia Freeland joining us here from the NFL Network. You see her all over the NFL Network all week long. And as we know, she does a sensational job. You've got the Jets, who you know this team extremely well, heading to your neck of the woods, taking on the Chargers. No Sam Darnold. I'll be shocked. I'll use the word shocked if we see Sam Darnold grace a green uniform ever again in his career for the Jets. But with that being said, Joe Flacco getting the start. They cut their lead DB in regard to interceptions on the team this week. Brian Poole has been placed on IR. You know, you've got a Chargers team that's favored by 9.5. We had R.J. Bell, who was on with Dave Rothenberg prior to my show launching. And R.J. Bell is saying that this is the lock of the century. This is like, to him, this is like, not only is he calling for the Jets to cover the 9.5, but he's saying put some money down on the money line. He thinks the Jets are going to upset the Chargers. How do you see this game?
I love that he calls it the call of the century. Like, that's a lot of, like, football is like, that's a lot of football to really, like, you know, get past. Look, I don't know if I think that the Jets pull off the upset. I do think it looks a lot better than what you might expect, given all the things that are wrong. The only thing I have to say is that Brian Poole missing on that defense and Pierre Desir not being there, I don't know what the corners are going to look like, but I know Brian Poole is really good, and he really typically lines up as a nickel corner. Like, he really defends the slot so well. And you know who's a really good slot receiver? Keenan Allen. So I don't know if I think this is the game where the Jets upset. I do think that they keep it close, though. I think it's within one touchdown, one score.
Okay, so you like the Jets getting the 9.5. You just wouldn't necessarily put money down on the money line.
I don't. So to me, the ROI would be dependent on that, because, you know, that always gets factored in. But I'm just straight math here, and I'm saying I wouldn't say the upset is unlikely. So you'd have to weigh the risk versus reward in that scenario. But I definitely think you have a high probability of a closer game than 10 points or 9.5 points.
Interesting. Again, Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Cynthia, one of my favorite plays this week is the Miami Dolphins, and I'm a little perplexed as to why this line opened at 3. It's up to 3.5. It's now at 4 because I want to say public money, 95% of our country, those who, of course, gamble, are throwing their money on the Miami Dolphins. I think we're bearing the lead here. It's not just Tua. It's this defense, and it's Brian Flores and the zero blitz scheme that he is presenting, that, you know, Justin Herbert, who I believe is part of Mensa, couldn't even figure out last week. So with that being said, is laying the 4. Well, first and foremost, are you a little perplexed in regards to the line when it first came out?
Yeah, I was a little shocked. I think there's probably some injury concern. I mean, the running back position is certainly not a strength in terms of roster depth for the Dolphins, but I was trying to look to see if there was something else that could be suggesting a different direction or trajectory, and I can't seem to find anything that's convincing. So I am a bit perplexed about it, other than perhaps the lack of depth at running back. I mean, they're really injured at running back.
Right. You've got Drew Lock, who's dealing with a rib issue. His offensive line ranks 28th in the NFL. This is probably one of my favorite plays. Do you have a pick? Do you have a play in this game?
Yeah, I have a very strong Miami Dolphins win by
a good
margin. Yeah,
oh, good. I'll sleep better at night. I'll sleep better at night now.
And I think Devontae Parker is going to have a great showing. I think that if you're trying to figure out whether or not he's going to have more than 70 receiving yards, you are well suited to think he's going to go far over that number.
Some other games that I like. I really like the Colts this week, -1.5, -2 in some places. they're just not a sexy team. Let's be honest. Like, nobody gets excited about Phillip Rivers. You know, I think their offensive line is kind of underestimated. I don't think people realize how good it is. I love the fact that Michael Pittman Jr. is back. This will be his third game off of IR. I love the kid. You know, you and I have talked about it. We're both at the Combine. I felt he was the best wide receiver coming out. Only time will tell. Their defense is awesome. I think they have arguably the best linebacker in the NFL who is really geeked up to get after Aaron Rodgers. I just think all the stars align properly for this Colts team. What's your play here?
Well, I've been picking the Colts wrong a lot this season. They miss me because the games where I expect them to be good, they're excellent, or they're not so good, and the games where I don't expect them to really show up or that the level of their competition, because their schedule has been quite favorable. So I don't know. They've been a little bit stifling for me in terms of figuring out which team's going to come. I mean, we've seen Phillip Rivers be great. We've seen Phillip Rivers be not so great. So it is not a sexy team. It is also a very weird team in terms of, like, metrics. But I actually have the upset here. I think Green Bay pulls it off. The returned health of – I mean, obviously this is dependent on – Devontae Adams has appeared on the injury report that he was off on, whatever. This is assuming Devontae Adams does play. I think that defense is great, but I don't think they're excellent. I think their stats are overextended because they've played kind of weird levels of competition, and, you know, you've seen those numbers get skewed a bit. Now, that being said, this one I could easily get wrong because, like I said, you know, all full disclosure, the Colts have missed me this season.
Okay, that's fair.
So I'm saying I'm going with it. My model has the Packers. I that's how I pick games. So for me, I have the Packers winning this one. But like I said, my gut on this one is not as excited about, like, I don't like this pick as much as I don't feel as strongly about this pick personally as I do about some of the other ones. But again, go with the model. I got to go with my model. Spent a lot of time making that model. I got to go with what it says.
Last one I want to tee up for you is the Monday night game with the Rams going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We got a problem here, girl. I saw your tweet.
You saw my tweet or you saw Frankie on Daily Wager last night?
Well, I haven't watched Daily Wager yet today. Last night I had some extra stuff. We're about to lock down here in Cali, so I had to, like, go to the grocery store. But it's on my DVR, and I'm going to watch it. So I definitely saw Frankie, and I definitely know you're picking the Rams.
I cued Frankie. I said, Frankie, pin your ears back like Aaron Donald's going to do against Tom Brady. And he pinned his ears back.
I love it.
Because that's what's going to happen. This is my dog of the week. The Rams plus four. You can get them on the money line at plus 170. Here's the thing, and you know, you're in LA. You know the Rams better than most. You know, obviously they lose their left tackle, ranked fourth best tackle in the NFL by PFF. But I think more importantly, and nobody's really talking about this, and that's Ali Marpet. Now he's ranked the fourth topped guard in the NFL by PFF. And I've been texting with Jenna Lane. She's probably like, she's had it with me. She's probably like, stop texting me, Anita. And this morning, prior to me starting the show, Jenna does not believe that Marpet is going to pass concussion protocol. He did not practice yesterday. So he's going to be missing. That's a big cog in that offensive line, especially when you're talking about Aaron Donald, who's coming in through the middle of that offensive line. I think Tom Brady's in for a long night. On top of the fact that Jalen Ramsey and that secondary will be able to contend and contest with the weapons that Tom's working with. I think this is a sneaky good play, and I love the Rams getting four. I like the Rams on the money line. Eddie, you know, our producer, you know, I have to take the money line on that segment because it is the dog of the week. And at plus 170, plus 180 where you can get it, okay. But I would love for you to kind of elaborate and really give us some analysis in regard to both offensive lines and how crucial you think those two offensive linemen not playing, not suiting up are going to be.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one because first, starting with Andrew Whitworth being gone, the difference in pressure to Jared Goff in that single game before Andrew Whitworth left and after, it almost doubled. And next gen stat shows that it was 13% prior and then 23.5% after. So almost a doubling of pressures allowed with no Andrew Whitworth. And, you know, I think Todd Bowles, who we both really love, he's going to dial up Shaq Barrett on the edge. See you later, Jared Goff. It's going to be very difficult, right? So that's my one side from there. And then the other side, the interesting part about whether, like, look, Ali Marpet, huge deal for whether or not Tom Brady, because of that interior pressure, guards, left guard, so important. And both of them are very highly rated. So it's not even Steven, because it's where people prefer to have pressure or not. And, you know, the truth is that Tom Brady doesn't like pressure coming from where a guard would typically stand or where a guard does stand. It doesn't have good results with that. But that being said, the one factor here, the X factor, is that the Rams do allow you to run on them. Their running yards, their rushing yards, their running capabilities keep things pretty efficient. So that's where you have some advantage here, because Taylor Rapp, who is also lost for the season and kind of gets overshadowed because of some of the other injuries, but Taylor Rapp, who is lost for the other, you know, he's a safety, it's his second season, he's really great. They're going to miss him as well, because those shorter passes and those runs that go a little bit deeper into the second level, they're going to need to stop those, because that's how you really keep this Rams defense off balance, is you create efficiency through the run game. So for me, I think the two being gone on the one side is more, you know, the two being gone for the Rams is one on each side of the ball. That one kind of tips the scales in favor of the Bucks. However, I will tell you, I think that it's going to be a much closer game. I think it's like the Bucks eke out a win if the Rams get to face Tom Brady with no Allie Marpet.
Interesting stuff. All right, we always end the show with your fantasy football sleeper picks. And, you know, I use the word sleeper, but, you know, just guys that might be flying a little bit low on the radar. As always, Cynthia, start with your quarterback.
Okay. I definitely think you should look at Joe Burrow. I understand it's a little weird, it's a little dicey, because you never know what you're going to get out of the Cincinnati Bengals offense. But I think this is a situation where Joey B has a great game. This is Joe Burrow to T. Higgins is a pretty nice stack there if you're looking in daily format.
I like it.
Hi, Tua. I'm curious, by the way.
I like it. Here's my only concern with Tua, and you touched on this a second ago, and that is, injury. You know, there's a little report that came out this week that he's dealing with a foot injury. And that scares me a little bit. So I'm leaning away from Tua, but I love the Joe Burrow call. I love the Joe Burrow call a lot. In regard to running backs, who do you like?
Adrian Peterson, my guy DeAndre Swift isn't playing, and you got to take a running back in this situation against this defense. We do not know what we're going to get from Carolina. There's a lot of injuries going on there, but Adrian Peterson, veteran presence. I think he's going to, especially in daily formats, he's going to be very widely played. But if you can scoop him up in your season long, you're going to have a nice return on investment there.
Wow, I like that call. That's a sneaky good call. Wide receiver.
Okay, so I think your guy Michael Pittman Jr. is a great, maybe underappreciated, overlooked, what's the right word? I don't know. Both of those words seem to work for me. I think Michael Pittman Jr., people aren't paying enough attention to Michael Pittman Jr. They're like, oh, Alan Lazard might be back, or Marquez Valdes-Scantling had 2 touchdowns last week, so maybe I should look on that side of the ball. But don't forget, Michael Pittman Jr. is a big target. Phillip Rivers loves him. I think that's a great call in this one this week.
Yeah, I love Michael Pittman Jr. a lot. And last but not least, at tight end, which, by the way, I made the call on Tuesday. I told people, hashtag run, don't walk. This was before the announcement came out. This week on ESPN, Taysom Hill, you could put in as your tight end designation. So, in essence, if you did pick him up, you're, in essence, playing two quarterbacks, but one slotted in as your tight end designation. I think this is huge. And again, just full transparency. Matthew Berry went to social media yesterday and said, depending on the amount of snaps that Taysom Hill gets under center as opposed to playing not under center, ESPN has the right to withdraw the tight end designation, which in all honesty, Cynthia, I believe that they do in week 12. So this is the premier week. If you ever needed a win...
Bill Belichick more than fantasy league and cheat, then this is the week to do it.
This is the week to do it.
It's a free cheat. It's a loophole. I gotcha.
It is such a loophole, isn't it? Anyway, I retweeted Matthew Berry and I wrote, boo. And then I had a ton of people come after me and call me a cheater. But regardless, look, early bird gets the worm. You know, the morning squirrel gets the nut.
I like it for 1 week, but I think after a while it'll be a little lame. You know what I mean? Like, for 1 week, it's a great little cheat and it's fun. And you're like, oh my goodness, and there's so many stories of people just getting smoked because... Their tight end did nothing, and Taysom Hill scored 24 points or something crazy like that.
So let's just say you weren't listening to Anita Marks on Daily Wager on Tuesday, and you missed out on getting Taysom Hill. What are some of the other tight ends that you're looking at heading into Week 11?
Well, you should always listen to Anita. That's the number one takeaway from this entire segment.
Oh,
but the other thing you should maybe listen to, I mean, if Austin Hooper's available... I mean, he's back. He had an appendicitis thing, right? This is his second week back. But Austin Hooper is in a great spot this week. Browns need that little safety valve outlet because, remember, the Eagles' defensive front is their strength. I think they bring the fourth most pressure per next-gen stats, which means our guy Baker Mayfield, he's going to need those little outlet passes. And he doesn't have Odell Beckham Jr., so it'll be Jarvis Landry and it'll be Austin Hooper that are the beneficiaries of that.
Cynthia, you rock. Always appreciate your time with us on Saturday afternoon. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy week 11.
Thank you.
As I said earlier this week, buckle up, grab your popcorn. This Taysom Hill story is going to be fun to watch and see how it plays out tomorrow. So enjoy.
Yes, and stay safe. And I won't see you before Thanksgiving. I won't talk to you before Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, my friend. Enjoy.
Very grateful for you.
Ditto. Ditto.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.